Blog Talk Radio.
Or Jesus the Christ in the English. On this morning, we are continuing in discipleship, and we're looking at following Messiah, because when we enter into discipleship, then we have a master, a teacher, and the scriptures tell us that that is Messiah, and that we are to become like our master or our teacher, his disciple. And so as we look into this, we know the tenets of discipleship, that we must first seek the kingdom of heaven and Elohim and his righteousness first. We must value the kingdom above everything else, meaning that it has to be the most precious thing that we want in our life to achieve the kingdom. Third, we must do it with our whole heart. Fourth, we must not have anybody that is more important in our life than Messiah. Fifth, we must consider the cost. Are we willing to pay the cost, the price, to get into the kingdom? And in five, he says we must give up all. On last night, we find out that taking up our cross, he says, if you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross. That means to die. In the old Roman system, if you took up a cross, you either carrying it for somebody else to die or for you to die on. Okay, and so taking up your cross means to die to self. And we are supposed to do that daily. Die to self. Die to the ways of this world. And he says, and if we're not willing to do that, then we can't be his follower. And so on today, we're going to continue in this walk and remembering that he said the way in is to enter into the straight and narrow gate. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but enter into the gate that leads unto life, the straight and narrow gate. And so we're going to continue in this on this morning. We pray that everybody has had a blessed evening. Pray it's not too cold wherever you're at, that you're not getting any extreme weather, that you're not up under too much stress, but that you are able to focus on the Most High on this morning and give him glory, honor, and praise, for truly he is worthy. He is our Elohim, and he looked down upon us and decided that we were worth saving. And so if the Most High is going to give us that accolade, if he's going to feel that way about us, then we should, in return, do what it is that he asks. He is the Creator. And for the Creator to even take notice and to come in a way and give his life for his creation, that we might have life, then we should surely appreciate it and walk in his ways. So on this morning, I want you to get into the mindset of how would you follow Messiah? Are you willing to pay the cost to follow him? As I said on last night, we will be moving this ministry to Hebrew Connect. And on that site, you may or may not follow me. That's up to you. I'm going to be changing, getting a Hebrew name. I believe I have it already, and I will reveal it coming up in the next few days. Pray to the Most High on it. Make sure that it is the name that he wants me to have. And it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. I can just tell you that now. In the messages that are coming. Because time is winding up. I don't know exactly when Messiah is returning, but in my spirit, the way that the world is going, things are only about to get worse and worse. And if you are not in the ark, just like in the days of Noah. And Noah was building the ark. The people at the last minute could have came into the ark, but they didn't because they didn't believe. And once that door was closed, it was over. Their fate was sealed when the door to the ark was sealed. And it's the same way today. The door to the ark is going to be closed, and if you're left outside, then the protection of the Most High will not be over you. You will be in his wrath. And so we don't want to be in that place. So we need to learn how to follow Messiah and do what it is that he said to do without wavering, without complaining, without making it grievous to us. You know, I don't know if I can do this. Then That's on each individual. Brother Miles can't make that decision for anyone, only for himself. Okay? So with that being said, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. I want to welcome all those in North America and South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. And we want to welcome you here this morning. Pray that you have paper and pen, that you might take notes and contemplate what the Spirit has to say on this morning. So let me have all the ladies cover their heads, all the men uncover your heads, and let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith: I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim, for truly you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. There is none other that we will bow down to, Father, but unto you, Father, and give you glory and honor and praise. We keep your Shabbat, Father, in honor of you, Father, and we ask that you would bless us for being obedient to you. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim, O Yah Elohim, Yah Elohim. We magnify your name and we declare it. We declare it in the world, in the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory to you, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us. For they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but repent from our evil ways, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. But Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you've placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and they would obey your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Our scripture for today, we're going to go and let us get Matthew's chapter 19, the book of Matthew's chapter 19, verses 17 through 19. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Yeshua says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding in the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Glorious kingdom reigns forevermore. If there's one thing I've learned as an Israelite, yeah, we've got to keep the commandment. I was tired of being fed up, so I got the Bible and opened it up, yeah. And I saw that I was living wrong, wild and out, yes I was. Now I do my best to follow these laws, oh yeah. I used to be, oh no,
I'ma change my life, I'ma do things right, yeah.
Even when
it's hard, I gotta
be
faithful like it is to me.
I'ma do my best,
I'ma do my best to keep the commandments.
Oh yeah, see I played both sides too much. Out the truth back and forth too much.
No, no.
This time I'm gonna be faithful, that's for sure.
Matthew chapter 7. And these messages are to those that consider themselves Israel. The world is going to do what the world is going to do, and it's not my concern. It's not who Yah sent me to. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The way of destruction is wide. It's easy to get into. And if you enter into that wide gate, then you have to search for the straight gate. I came in the wrong door. You got to first realize that. I came into the wrong door. I entered into the wrong gate. If you are going along with the masses, 99.9% chance, I'm going to say it's 100% chance, that you are in the wrong gate. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. So if you are going along with the masses, if you are, you know, trying to come to consensus, and the same consensus that the world is on, that most people are on, you are more than likely at the wrong door. You're in the wrong gate. If you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're at the wrong gate. If you're understanding the way everybody else is understanding, you're at the wrong gate. Because he tells you that few people find the straight gate, the narrow way. And I think that it's not because they don't find it, they choose not to enter into it. Here's a gate over here, here's a gate over there. Everybody's going into that gate. I'm going to go into that gate too. That is the wrong choice. If everybody else is doing it, and Messiah has already told us that broad is the gate to destruction, then you don't want to go into that gate. You got to find out or enter into the straight gate and then listen to what Messiah tells us to do, what the word of Elohim tells us to do to keep life. Because you know, we only have two choices. We got the wide gate and we got the narrow gate, and we have two choices, to choose life or to choose death. The only choice is the Most High ever gives us, and it's consistent all through the scriptures. And so choose the narrow gate. Find out what you need to have life. Go to Matthew 28:19. The book of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is what the mores are supposed to be doing. This is what the pastors are supposed to be doing. Teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Problem with this is people are teaching people to enter in, but they want them to enter in under a false pretext. They don't want to set the stage and let everyone know this is what the true expectation is. You got to be willing to give your entire life to the Most High. You got to be willing to give your whole heart. You got to make the Most High and His kingdom and His righteousness the most valuable things in your life, your standard. Not what the world says, but what He says. And most of all, in these last and terrible days, you got to realize that the Most High knows you're human, and He don't change His standards because you're human. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. If you're not willing to do that, He says you can't be My disciple. You can't follow Me. Because in order to do this, you have to give your all. You can't come half-hearted. You can't come three-quarter-hearted or 90% of your heart. He says, I want the whole thing. Dedicate yourself to Me. And so we got to do that. That's what they're supposed to be teaching. People want to be forgiven, but then they don't want to do what the Most High says to do to keep their salvation. If I wipe your slate clean of all your sins, and then you turn around and go back and sin, what do you think the Most High is supposed to do with that? Oh, just forgive me again. He understands I'm human. I'm not perfect. It don't work that way. It has never worked that way. And that has been the problems of our forefathers. They wanted to establish their own righteousness. To establish their own righteousness above the righteousness of the Most High. And so if we're going to teach people to come into this, then we've got to set the correct expectation and give people the information that they need to make an intelligent and informed decision. Because you've got to choose the Most High. and then he will choose you, or it's his choice to choose you or not. Because when we hear these verses, many are called, but few are chosen, then we don't really take that to heart. He says, few find a way into the straight gate. Many are called, and they take the wide gate. They enter into the wide gate. And then few find the straight gate, but few are chosen because they were looking for the straight gate. They wanted to be right with the Most High. They put him first in their lives, his standard, his righteousness. And they were afraid to offend. They were afraid to transgress. They didn't look for a reason to say, you got to forgive me for this, Most High, because I'm human. I knew that before I created you. I created you. I know what you are. And so we can't use those things. So he says, count the cost. Are you willing to pay the price to enter into my kingdom? Everybody ain't getting in. Everybody's not getting in. Are you willing to do what it takes to enter in? Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Get verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. That means your life is no longer your own. Deny yourself. What do you want? Most I, you know, I wanted to get a good education and a good job and do these things. Have a big home and a fine car and all these things. I wanted to be this in life. He says, deny yourself. Because I got a plan for you. And this is what I want you to be. And see, most people think that that's to be poor. And they judge that in how much money they might have or make. The Most High says, mm-mm. But you know, money, if that's what it is, if that's what I need for you to have to do what I need for you to do, then I will make sure that you have the money to do what you need to do what you need to do that I ask you to do. You're not going to go and consume the money on yourself. You see, that's what we do. We go, and the way of the world is we go and we get these things, we get these jobs, we get the money to consume it upon ourselves. He says, no, your first priority is the kingdom. Your first priority is what I want. And I'll add all these other things unto you. I can't see it. Then you got to have faith. You got to believe. But see, we are creatures that, you know, we want to do what we want to do. He says, hey, you got to have faith in me. But I have to be the priority. And whatever I want you to do, I will make a way for you to do it. I will, if it takes money, I will provide the money. I will send the people that are willing. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Again, take up your cross means to die to self. If you were back in the Roman times and they say, hey, pick up this cross, you're going to Calvary. You're going to the Hill of Skulls, Golgotha. You have been found guilty, or we just don't like you. But we have your life in our hands, and you take up that cross, you're about to die. That's what that term means. Die. Prepare for your death. Prepare to die to self. And become this new creature in Messiah. and follow me. I'm going to teach you how to be this new creature. If you do what I tell you to do, then you will be doing and you will become what I want you to become. And you will be available for my use. Well, you got to consider that. It might be something that you have to do, as Paul said, daily. It's a battle every day. Because we got some stronghold within us, whether it's the love of money, whether it's the love of sex, whether it's the love of things. We got some fortress in us that we got to tear down, and we got to die to it. And it's a daily decision. And once you're over it, once you have torn it down, then that test doesn't come anymore. You don't have to struggle with that anymore. But you can't let it ever cause you to transgress. So, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. The book of Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Yeshua, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up your cross and follow me. We know that this young man did not do that, because he had great possessions, and he loved those possessions more than he really wanted to get into the kingdom of heaven. I love the things of this world. That's what I know. That's what I have, and I have it in abundance. And you want me to sell it all and give to the poor? And have treasure in some place I ain't never been? And I don't know? He couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He walked away. And see, that's the mentality of most of us. If the Most High said, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, we'd be like, Most High, are you talking to me? Are you really talking to me? Is that really you, Most High? Are you saying that to me? When we look at the scriptures in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, and the way that the church began, it's not that way today, but the way the church began was they had all things in common. Nobody was rich and nobody was poor, because whatever we were blessed in, we gave it to each other. We shared it. And whatever somebody else was blessed in and we had lack of, they gave us that. And the Most High has never wanted us to be about material things, even though we would have material things, but we have them equally. There would be no poor among us, because we would all be equally poor or equally rich. Think about that. If everybody had, you know, when you're in the projects and everybody in the projects is poor, you don't think anybody else in the project is better than you or worse than you. We just all poor and we all struggling. Until we come out of that mentality, out of that mindset, out of that environment, that we start looking at, oh, well, there's somebody below me. There's somebody worse off than me. There's somebody that has less than I do. The Most High says if that exists, then it's not what he wants. But he says, the poor you will always have with you. Why? Because we won't do it. We won't do what he said to do. And because we don't see anybody else doing it, then we don't want to do it. We want to enter into that wide gate, everybody else. We want to be with everybody else. Everybody else running off of the cliff, we get into that crowd, guess what's going to happen? Once you're in the crowd, and the crowd is going over the cliff, Whether you want to go over the cliff or not, you're going. Because the people in the back don't know what's ahead, and the people at the cliff, it's too late. The crowd's going to push them over the cliff. You in the crowd and get pushed over the cliff, following the crowd. So you got to be willing to die to self. You got to be willing not to be like the rest of the world. You got to be willing to look for truth. And when you hear it, accept it and walk in it and live in it. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And let me bring this one up. I think I want to start reading before my reference verse. Give me 1 second here. Let's start in verse 17. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Pharisees and doctors of the law, lawyers. That's a doctor of the law, today, a lawyer. Pharisees are, they are a form or a sect of the lawyers, but they had a different belief, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of Yah was present to heal them. Now think of this. These are people who know the law. They know what the word of the Most High says, but they are not healed. They are not whole. They are teaching the word of the Most High, and they themselves are sick from the word of the Most High. They are in transgression. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken away, taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in. So you got this crowd of people. And they are mostly made up of Pharisees and lawyers. The professional people. The ones that are supposed to be in the know. The ones that are supposed to help the people, teach the people. And they're surrounding this house where Messiah is, and somebody brings in or tries to bring in a man that is sick with palsy. And they can't get to the house because they're all crowded around it and won't let them in. And behold, men brought in a bed which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by the way, they might bring him in, couldn't find a way to bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tile. So imagine you come to a brother's house and there's a crowd around the house. Somebody needs help. The crowd won't let them through. They find a way to get to the rooftop. They take off the tiles on the roof to let this man down, to get healed by Messiah. Verse 19 again. And but when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tile with his couch into the midst before Yeshua. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Because of the faith of other people, that man couldn't get there. But the man bringing him had the faith to even go up on the rooftop. And maybe he was, hey, y'all got to get me there. I don't care how you do it, but get me in front of him. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. Because that is what had brought on his illness, his sin. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Now, these are, the scribes are the teachers. The Pharisees actually sit in the seat of Moses. They are the ones that are administering the law. The judges. And you got lawyers. And they're reasoning. What did he just say? What did he just say? They started reasoning, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but Elohim alone? But when Yeshua perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason in your hearts? What are you thinking about in your hearts? What are you trying to rationalize? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. The root cause is his sins. Messiah addresses his sins, and the Pharisees say, hey, you ain't got the power to forgive sin. Only Elohim has that power. So Messiah said, if I had said to you, rise up and walk, and didn't say nothing about sin, you'd be cool with it. You wouldn't even think about addressing the root cause of why this man is sick. Like when you go to the hospital and you got a tumor, and they're trying to give you a shot for a fever or something. They're not addressing the root cause. Verse 20. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said it unto the sick of the palsy. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Get up, take up your couch, and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying Elohim. Now, the Pharisees, the crowd, the multitude got a problem. See, they are in the wide gate. And they are thinking that ain't nobody got the power to forgive sin. And here's one that says he has the power to do it, and he is blaspheming according to them. And they could have been healed. They could have understood that they had the power to forgive sin themselves. And we got the same sickness today. Because we don't believe that the Most High has given us the power to forgive sins. Not with just those people who have trespassed against us, forgive them their trespasses against us, but to reconcile people unto the Most High by understanding that we have the power if we have the Ruach HaKodesh, if we will not walk in fear but to speak the words, thy sins be forgiven thee, that people might heal. Oh no, we can't do that. Problem is when we're walking in sin, it's hard to say that. We don't feel like we're worthy. We don't feel like we are supposed to do it. And this is what Messiah was trying to teach the Pharisees and the lawyers and the teachers, that he might heal them, not this man. But they wouldn't receive it. And what they wanted to do was attack him. You blaspheme. Verse 26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified Elohim, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, saying at the receipt of, sitting at the receipt of custom. In other words, he was a tax collector, and said unto him, follow me. Lay down that life of being a tax collector. Die to that life and follow me. But I want to go back up in the first verse that we read. Verse 17. Understand that this healing of this man and the way Messiah did it was, it was to the glory of the Most High, but it was also to heal the people in the crowd. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of Yah was present to heal them. Y'all got a problem. You don't understand the mission that the Most High has given you by giving you the law and the oracles and the statutes. And you don't understand that he wants to fill you with his spirit. Because he is not going to be you doing the work. You got to understand, it's the spirit of the Most High that's supposed to be in you that's doing the work. But you have to be of understanding to do it, to walk in it. If you are still struggling with it, you won't be able to do anything with it. You won't be able to command that power that he has given us. He wanted to heal them. It wasn't that they were sick of palsy. They were sin sick. They were faith sick. They were belief sick. They did not want to step into the duties that the Most High had given them. They just wanted to condemn. They wanted to control. They didn't want to set free. That's why he says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Because you learn who you are and what you are supposed to walk in and what your duties are on this earth. It is not to rule over men, over people. It is to set them free from the ways of this world, to reconcile them unto the Most High. So Messiah came to heal the Pharisees, to heal the lawyers. Because you guys are sick and you sit in the seat of Moses. You are the judges and the lawyers, and you are trying people, and you are sending people to death. And you yourselves are sick in your mind and in your heart. You're hypocrites. You say do this, but you don't do it. And then you condemn people. You yourselves are in need of healing in your heart, but they wouldn't receive it. And that's where the vast majority of us sit today. We don't want to receive that. Because see, one of the, and we'll probably cover it this evening, in the Great Commission to go and teach and baptize all nations, is the ministry of reconciliation and the forgiveness of sins. And you have the power to forgive sins, not just those committed against you. I pray we can hear this. Let's continue. Again, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And before we move on to this, understand that you have to believe, you yourself have to believe that you have that power, and the person that you are praying for has to also believe. But if you don't believe, you're not going to even do it. You can't control what the other person believes. But if you yourself don't believe, then you can't receive healing. And you can't administer healing. I was going to go someplace. Let me go someplace first. Else first. Give me 1 second. I need to go someplace else. Let me find this verse real quick that just came into my mind. Go to John chapter 20. The book of John chapter 20. I pray that you're able to hear this and receive it, because he says, follow me. Do what I do. Say what I say. Okay? John chapter 20. And let's start in let's read this story so we get so that we're not cherry picking. Let's read this story and understand. Start in verse 1. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. This is Messiah's tomb that he was in. Then he runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. And let me put on my glasses. And to the other disciples whom Yeshua loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord, or Yah's body, out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. So they are running because she has come back and said that they have taken his body. And Peter gets outran. And he stopped, stooping down, looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth laying there, and the napkin, and that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So it looks like Messiah has gotten up, taken off these burial clothes, and the napkin that was around his head, he has taken that and folded it up and laid it separately by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Now think about this. If it had been grave robbers, they would not have taken the time to fold up the linen napkin that was about Messiah's head. The scripture is conveying to us that this was a structured and a calm event. Messiah got up, took the robe off, took the burial napkin off his head, folded up, and lay it down, and left. If it was grave robbers, they'd just snatch that stuff. They'd probably just taken everything, or they would have just thrown it about in a hurry to get out of there. Then went in also the other disciples, which came in first, verse 8, of the sepulchre, he saw and believed, verse 9, for yet as yet they knew not the scripture. They didn't know the scripture concerning this, that he must rise again from the dead, even though Messiah told them himself. I got to go to Jerusalem, and in 3 days, I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. But most of the time, his own disciples walked in unbelief. They're with him, but they're walking in unbelief. And that was the problem for them. And they didn't believe until after he reappeared to them. Now we believe. Okay? For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Elisha,
yeah.
Close my door. Verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she sees two angels. Now, these two men just was in there. They didn't see nothing. They saw the burial cloth. Mary is weeping. She is, you know, she is sorrowful. They have stolen Messiah's body. And the Most High sends a messenger, two messengers to her. And sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? She says unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord or my master, and I know not where they have laid him. I don't know where they put him. They took him, and I don't know where he's at, because she's going to come and perform the burial ritual. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Yeshua standing, and knew not that it was Yeshua. Yeshua said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Who are you looking for? She supposing him to be the gardener. Says unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you've taken him somewhere else, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Yeshua said unto her, Mary. That had to be the way he said her name. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, or teacher, or master, which is to say master. Yeshua said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my Elohim and your Elohim. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord as she had seen Yeshua, and that he had spoken these things unto her. So we have, she comes to the tomb first, don't see his body, runs and gets them. They come to the tomb, they see the linen cloth, and they see the napkin in the tomb, but they don't see the two angels. She stays there weeping. The two angels appear to her and say, Hey, why are you weeping? And then she turns around, she hears a voice, but she don't recognize Messiah. And he's behind her. And then when he says her name, she recognizes him. And he tells her, Now go tell your brethren. He chooses a female to do this. And the women are not excluded in the gospel. Okay? Let's go down to verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Yeshua and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, they think he's dead. They think somebody has stolen his body. Mary has come back and said, No, he said that he is ascending to his Father and your Father, his God and your God. And he appears to them. If that was you, what would be your reaction? You know, you would have to be, I would be in fear at first sight. He comes to show them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. It really is you, because they're thinking they're seeing a ghost. When they saw Yeshua. Then said Yeshua unto them, to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Spirit of the Most High. Just like on the day of Pentecost. Now he's commanding them to receive this, and he's going to tell them to go to Jerusalem and wait in the book of Acts, not in this encounter here. Wait for that power. Because the same things I did, you're supposed to do. Verse 23. Whosoever sins, you remit. You forgive. Whosoever sins, you remit. They are remitted unto them. They are forgiven. And whosoever sins, you retain. They are retained. Take up your cross and follow me. Whosoever sins, you forgive. They are forgiven. And whosoever sins, you say, are left on them. They are left on them. They retain them. Because if you're going to follow him and become like him, he's giving us this power to continue in the work that he began. Go into all nations and baptize them. You don't want to baptize them if they're still in sin. Tell them that their sins are forgiven and baptize them and wash them of those sins. It's the way it's supposed to work. So just as he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, we are supposed to be able to do the same things, but we don't walk in it. We don't walk in that power. We don't walk in that authority because we are struggling ourselves. Because we have not died to self. We still want to let this body rule us. We still want to let these emotions rule us. There is a greater purpose for our lives. But we don't want to enter into that gate. Because we ourselves don't want to do right. We want to let this body rule us. We want to let our emotions rule us. We want to let the ways of the world rule us. We want to take the way of the world as the standard. And because we don't walk in belief, either way, as the recipient or the giver, we don't see things happening that are supposed to happen. If I come to you and say, thy sins be forgiven you, you're going to look at me like, you are evil. That's what you would say. You are wicked. You are blaspheming. Only the Most High can forgive sin. You are yet the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and have not yet been healed. To understand the mission that Messiah gave to us. That of reconciliation. And because we don't want to die to self and we don't want to put the Most High first, we want to put our body first. We want to put our finances first. We want to put our emotions first. For this short lifetime. because this lifetime is short. I'm 65 years old, and I can remember when I was 9 like it was yesterday. I can remember when I was 7 and 5 like it was yesterday, because it was yesterday. I just got to bring it up in my memory. Yesterday, 65 years later. And then we're gone. And what we were supposed to do, we didn't do. Why? Because we walked in unbelief. Why? Because we love this world more than we love this world more than we love Messiah or the Most High. Why? Because we wanted to follow the masses. We didn't want to appear to be weird. We didn't want to appear to be different. We want to be loved by the world. Instead of being loved by the Most High. We want to be loved by the Most High, but on our terms and not His. Just as He gave the disciples, those apostles that followed Him, He gave them the authority. And then they had to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High, because He's doing the work, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, the power of the Highest. We don't heal anything. We don't forgive anything. We are the mouthpiece, and we are the vessel through which the Most High works. But we have to die to self for Him to work through us. And we don't want to die to self. We don't want to take up our cross. That's why it says, if you're not willing, if you have anybody in your life that's more important than Him, even your own self, you cannot be His disciple. You can't do what He's asking you to do. And you're going to enter into the wide gate. That's why He said, many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name? Feed the hungry, heal the sick, cast out demons. And says, get away from me. I never knew you. You're using my name, but I don't know you. My name has power in it, but I don't know you. Because you didn't die to self. You kept doing the same things that you were doing and calling on my name, invoking the power of my name. Demons know that name and tremble at it. And you did work. But I don't know you. I never knew you. That's rough. That is rough. So understand that to follow Him, you got to die to self. Can't say I'm following Him and, oh, but, you know, I'm going to still continue to have all these things in my life. I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to seek this goal. I'm going to do this, yada, yada, yada. No, you never committed yourself to me. You wanted to use me. I never knew you. You never knew me. Because had you known me, you would have known to fear me and to keep my commandments and to die to yourself. Whatever it was that you were, or that you wanted to be, I have a greater purpose for you, if you will but step into it. And it's never too late. You just have to be of a willing heart. You have to be able to hear and see the message and step into it. I wish the Most High had shown me these things as a younger man. But it's not until he told me to go forth and teach that he started revealing these things to me. Because the Most High knows my heart. I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right, that I might do it. So in a lot of ways, he's also teaching me at the same time. But we have to follow him. We have to die to self. We have to take up our cross and die. Some things we are able to kill real quick, real easy. And then we got those things that we really don't want to stop or don't want to give up. And we struggle with it. But I believe we struggle with it because we really don't understand what we are supposed to be doing. We don't see the full picture. So we don't die to self. We try to hold on to those things, thinking that we either need them or we truly want them, and we want them more than we want him. They are more valuable, and I'm just going to say it, put it where we can get it. Those things are more valuable to us than the Most High is. I don't care what it is, whether it's money, whether it's a person, whether it is status, whatever it is, we are saying to the Most High, I love this more than I love you. I want this more than I want you. I'm not willing to follow you down that path because this I want more. Pray that it helps somebody this morning. Let's continue. Because we, as his people, have to get it right. Claiming to belong to the Most High. And he turned around and said, I don't know you. I never knew you. But Most High, I know you. No, you don't. You don't know me. You don't know me. You claiming me, but you don't know me. Because if you knew me, then you would know to fear me. You would know to die to yourself and keep my commandments and do what I say do. You would know how to make yourself a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to me. You would know how. One more place. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Got to get up in the morning. What is it that you would have me do, Most High? Who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? What's the plan for today? Drop down to verse 59, same chapter. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Master, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Yeshua said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of Elohim. Let the dead bury the dead. Those who are in trespass and sin, they are dead in trespass and sin. They walking around breathing and talking and playing and doing all this stuff, and it looks like they have life, look like they are alive, and as far as we are concerned, if we are in the carnal mind, they are alive. They're walking, breathing, eating, procreating, doing all these things that we believe is life. But as long as they are in their trespasses and sin, the Most High sees us as dead. Like those movies, the Walking Dead. When you look at this thing from through the eyes of the Most High, you see a lot of dead creatures walking around. Yeah, roll that back. Let me see that part of the movie again. The Walking Dead. Killing each other. In a physical death. It says you are dead in trespasses and sin. And until you die to self, do your own ways and take up my cross, I'm going to see you as dead. You dead to me. Can we hear this? Because this is not a game. This is serious. You see how not many people find this path, this gate? He says there's only two gates, there's only two doors. You either hit this one or you hit the other one. You either hit the narrow gate or you hit the wide gate. That's our choices. You either choose life or you choose death. Most people choose death and believe that they have chosen life. They believe it. They've chosen death. Because the Most High is looking for his. And those that are his, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's not simply to believe that he existed. It's not simply to believe that he died for your sins. You have to follow him. He has to become the most important being in your life. His ways have to become your ways. Or else he says, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot follow me. You cannot enter into the straight gate. The other gate leads to destruction, leads to death. You choose. I pray we can hear this. Because many people, according to the Most High, many people will change the truth of the word of Elohim into a lie so that it feels comfortable to them. So that it feels comfortable to them. I can do that. Yah loves me. Are you keeping my commandments? I love them that love me. I don't love everybody. I love them that love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will follow after me. You will walk in my ways. You will not pretend to walk in my ways. You will walk in my ways. You will die to yourself. So let the dead bury the dead. Come unto me and I shall give you life. And that more abundantly. And I will teach you how to give other people life and to bring them into life. Because they think that what they're doing now in this world that they walk in now is life. Only thing in the end that's going to survive this are those things that become like me. I'm not going to have a kingdom of children that are not like me. I will burn them up. I will throw them in the lake. My children who don't understand, I need to become like Daddy. I need to walk in Daddy's ways, and I need to be obedient to Daddy, to Abba. If that's not enough to make you stop sinning and to make you walk in his ways, nothing will. You might as well enjoy this life because this is all you have. The next life is the lake. Luke chapter 11, verse 35. Luke chapter 11, verse 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness, that the knowledge that is in you be not darkness. You see, a lot of people proclaim that they have knowledge. But that knowledge can be dark knowledge. It leads to death. It leads to death. So make sure that the light that is in you be not darkness. Be not evil. I used to call people that had that type of knowledge dark light. Dark light. People who are satanic have dark light. They have knowledge, but it's dark. But you can have people who are in the pulpit that have knowledge, but it is dark because it doesn't lead to life. They're doing it to get rich. They're doing it to have notoriety, to be well known. They're doing it for the love of people, not for the love of Elohim. That's not what motivates them. I want to be popular. Let me use this internet to get rich so I can have cars and planes and houses. So I can have people bowing before me. That's what they're doing it for. And they are corrupting it, turning the word of Elohim, the truth of Elohim, into a lie. And causing many to fall. You got to understand. Make sure that that light that is within you is not dark. Oh, it's okay. Yah will forgive you. He understands. That's darkness. That is truth misconstrued. That is truth misrepresented. That is truth told in a way that makes it a lie, because it is not the complete truth. It is not coming from a position of understanding. You know, I was talking with my wife this morning, and one of the things as I was laying in the bed there, you know, men will say ignorance of the law is ignorance. There's no excuse for ignorance of the law. Okay, that's man's ways. And they, if you are ignorant of the law and you break the law, they will punish you. They will punish you. You driving down the road, the speed limit was 45. It changed to 25 and you didn't see the sign. And they said, well, you should have saw the sign. Ignorance is no excuse. You were speeding. The Most High doesn't say that. That is opposite of the Most High. When you understand him, he says, if you are ignorant, I will forgive you. But once I give you the truth, and you know, there is no excuse. Because you know. That is the opposite of man. And we got to understand that. That the way that the nations treat strangers in their land, the Most High says that you're to love the stranger. They're ignorant of your ways. Teach them your ways. But in, I can speak for America, if you're a stranger in this land, the ruling parties in this land want to get you to work for them and do what they need done or abuse you. You're going to work for us one way or the other. You work for us in the penal system or you do what we say out here. We'll reward you out here. But what you're doing is wickedness because you're going to help us to keep down your fellow man. You're going to help us to do that. And you're going to get paid to do it. And it doesn't matter what type of job it is because what I've come to realize is everything is corrupt. You can think you're doing an innocent job, but it's part of a corrupt system. You know, I was looking up, we always hear about GMO foods, genetically modified foods. And then we go to the store, it says non-GMO. Do you know all of that is a lie? Because they have modified everything. Been doing it for thousands of years. So what you think is an innocent broccoli sprout, ain't it? It never existed in nature. Cauliflower, greens, apples, melons, the cattle. Man has modified it all, has changed it. And so you cannot get anything that has not been genetically modified. It's impossible. Maybe some water. And you know, you get it, if you get it from the faucet, it got something in it. It's been changed. But the Most High is going to hold mankind responsible for that. Because man wants to play Elohim. There are so many creatures and varieties of plants that have gone extinct from this planet because somebody decided that they wanted something else. So let's put these two together. Let's put these two together. Let's get rid of this one. There is no such thing as non-genetically modified. That is, it is a illusion. Every grain that we eat, wheat, corn, rice, it's been genetically modified. And it's the stuff that's killing us. And you need to know. You need to know these things because that is the level of the battle that you are in. But you got to first enter into the straight gate. You got to first make the Most High priority in your life, above even yourself. Got to make him first. We'll be trying to eat to be healthy, and the stuff that we think is healthy is really already been modified. It's the healthiest you can get right now, but it wasn't what the Most High put on this planet. Make sure that your light, your knowledge is not darkness. Make sure that it's not a lie. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me, this is mankind, this is man or woman, come to me, hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross, whosoever does not lay down his life and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Drop down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 32, Luke chapter 17, verse 32. So see, those verses speak for themselves. And don't take it that, oh, that's only the man. Because it's not just the man. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Because she disobeyed. She was told to do something, and she did what she wanted to do. Had she obeyed, she would have received life. She would have lived. Remember that the Most High has prophets, and he has prophetess. The only difference is gender. The Most High speaks to the prophet, he speaks to the prophetess. Who can't use, a man can't use that he is greater than a woman in Mashiach, and a woman can't use that she is less than a man in Mashiach. If you choose to get married, you are commanded to submit. If you choose to get married, the man is commanded that he shall rule. Those things don't change. But that don't mean you have less power. That don't mean that you are less than. Don't mean that you don't have the same requirements as the man. You see, we come up with all kind of things to justify not doing what he says to do. You know, it's like when I was in the church, and maybe many of us suffer from the same thing, I don't know. When I was in the church, and I didn't know who I was, as far as being a Hebrew Israelite, I always looked at the people in the Bible, the Jews, as those people. And God put those taskings on those people. And then when I found out what was me, changed my whole perspective. And see, when we look at life that way, we will make an excuse that, hey, we don't have to do those things. That was for them to do. But if you are in Messiah, I don't care if you are black, white, purple, red, green, Puerto Rican, Inca, Navajo, black. If you are the son of Cain or Ham or Japheth, the Most High is looking for those who will fear him and keep his commandments. That's what Peter had to come to the realization, that in every nation, it's Acts chapter 10. Let me get the exact verse. And if those that are in every nation that know Messiah think that they don't have to obey his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments, then you are woefully wrong. Because if you fear him, then you know you have to obey. And you got to do the exact same things that he told his people, because you become his people. There shall be one law in the land, and you shall be as one, homeborn. We want to keep things separate. Hold on a second. Let me get this verse. Good grief. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Because see, Peter is shown a sheep full of unclean animals. And he's told to get down and kill and go eat. And Peter said, not so. For nothing common or unclean has ever passed my lips. And the Most High was using this vision to represent the Gentile nations, because it was an unclean thing. It was an unlawful thing for he that was a Jew to go into another nation, to go unto them. But let's pick it up there, and then we're going to read down. Hold on, I'm going to go back up. We go to verse 28. Understand that Peter has been shown this vision, and he's contemplating it because he had to be shown three times. Y'all, you really telling me to get down and go kill and eat something unclean? But he wasn't really talking about the animals. He's talking about people. And he said unto them, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He showed them common and unclean food. Peter got the message. He's talking about men here. He's not talking about the food. That I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, without arguing, as soon as I was sent for. I ask, therefore, what intent have you sent for me? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in a house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before Elohim, to hear all things that are commanded thee of Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness, that means to keep his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, his judgments, he that worketh righteousness is accepted with him in every nation. This is who Messiah is looking for. Not those that say they know him and don't do what he says to do. Not those that take his name and say they do works but don't actually follow him. They're using him. They're using him as a crutch to feel good about themselves. Because I don't know you. I never knew you. Get away from me. Don't matter what nation you come from. Does the Most High still have a place in his heart for Israel? Yes, because he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ain't got nothing to do with us. Got to do with the promise and the word that he gave to them, that he would keep his promise, his word to them. That's the only reason that it's important to know you're an Israelite. But you still got to come to the Most High in spirit and in truth. And you got to walk in his ways. And you got to die. You got to pick up your cross. Just being a Hebrew Israelite by blood don't mean damn it if you're not going to pick up your cross and follow Messiah. I pray we can hear this. Because what the Most High is looking for, no matter what nation you come from, no matter what your bloodline is, if you will fear him and do right as he commands what is right, not what you say is right. And if they don't look at my people Israel and talk smack either, don't boast against them, because then you will be guilty of what they did. And I will cut you off. Speaking to the Gentiles. But Israel has to come into truth and has to come into faith and pick up the mantle that the Most High gave to Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel and tell them their Elohim is calling them to follow him and to die to themselves. What he chose Israel for from the very beginning. And don't be trying to exclude people. Because that's what we'll do. And those who want to Israel not to be in his place will try to exclude Israel. If you don't love the Most High more than you love self, if you're not willing to pick up your cross and die to self, you cannot follow Messiah. There is no if, ands, or buts about that. There is no in between. You either enter into the straight gate, the narrow path, or you enter into the wide gate. Only two choices. Some of us might feel that we can walk along the wall. Hey, there's a wall between these two doors. I just walk down the wall. I stand at the in between them. You made your choice. You don't get to do that. You don't get to straddle the fence. You don't get to stand in between. You either choose life or you choose death. It is that simple. The world is wicked, and the world doesn't want Israel to be in Israel's place. So the world will claim to be Israel. But even when Israel finds out who Israel is, they don't want to follow the Most High. They want to appear to be his people. But they don't want to die to self. Too busy trying to be somebody to the world instead of be somebody to the Most High. Too busy wanting to have revenge. But the Most High says, vengeance is mine. You just follow me. I will take care of everything. Oh, no, Most High. Oh, I want to get me somebody. Doing foolishness. Becoming proud and puffed up. When you come to the Most High, says, I want you to die to all of that. Everything you've been through, I want you to die to it. Everything somebody has done to you, I want you to die to it. Die to it. And follow me. And I'll set you free from all that mess. As long as you want to hold on to it, then you shall remain in your sin. And you shall die in your sin. I pray that we have ears to hear. Get one last verse, and we'll close it up for this morning. One last set of verses. You know what? I'm going to hold this for this evening. I pray that we understand that our discipleship, our walk with Messiah, that we have to die to self. That we do it daily. Because it's not an easy walk. It's only easy once you start doing it. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. That used to be me. That used to be important to me. I killed that off. And I'm going to follow my Savior and my Redeemer. I choose life. And this is not the life. If it's being like the world, it is not the life that Yah wants for me. It is not the life that Yah has for me. And I don't care if people call me a heretic, if people call me stupid or weird, because that's what men will say. I don't care if people say I'm blaspheming. If I know the truth that I'm walking in the word of Yah, I don't care what men say. I don't care what men think. The old me would. The old me might be like, you know, people are going to think you crazy. People are going to think you a heretic. Some people are going to call you a blasphemer. Let them say what they will say. The only one I care about in their judgment is Yah. What does Yah say? May the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Pick up your cross and die to yourself. And if you have to do it daily, do it daily. That you might enter into the straight gate. Shalom, family. See you on this evening. I will pick this up in Luke chapter 19. Turn down. All right, what were you saying, my sister?
Yeah, Just that. Shalom.
All right. Shalom, my sister. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your day. Same thing to you, Sister Mary, and to everyone online.
Thank you.
See you guys this evening.
Thanks.
Shalom, Brother Gary. Wake up. Peace and blessings to
shalom.
You and your family.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Sister Miles, my wife.